Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I was mentioning to Kylie this morning that I picked a scripture passage that really requires like a 2-hour long sermon because of how much Paul packed into it. And then also the challenge of taking 7 Harry Potter books that was made into 8 Harry Potter films and jamming them all into that sermon at the same time. Talk about giving myself a challenge this morning. But I admit, I love the Harry Potter series. If you didn't already know this, I love Harry Potter. I read all of the books, I watched all of the movies. And not only did I read all of the books, but every time a book was about to come out, I would start with book one and read all the way up until the new one came out. So I've read book one like 6 times. I've read book two like 5. I have read and read and read them, so don't play Harry Potter trivia with me because I know it all. I love it. And so many people would say, how do you love that as a Christian? Because it's all about wizardry and witchcraft and magic. And that doesn't seem to go with our Christian values and our beliefs. But if you think that, it tells me you haven't watched or read Harry Potter. Because while there is this magical, mystical world of wizardry and witchcraft, there are greater themes into it that absolutely run right along with our Christian values and teachings. And so to get to know this a little bit better, I thought I would start with a little lesson on Harry Potter. And how I'm going to have this lesson on Harry Potter is I'm going to include in, and I'm watching the screen to see when we fully get in there. Are we good on Facebook too? This is a whole new way of doing worship, y'all. But it's fun and wonderful too. So Wednesday night Bible study is on a series by a gentleman named Bob Goff. And Bob Goff is hilarious and engaging, and you just want to laugh alongside of him because he's just exploding with joy at everything that he talks about. But this week, in our study of Everybody Always, Bob Goff was talking about our circles of relationships, and he relayed it to like the circles on a tree stump. I think about like a bullseye, but he says think about circles on a tree stump, and at the very center, the people that you are closest to. And so if we're thinking about Harry Potter, we're going to put Harry in the middle. Okay. And I know they teach you on stage, never turn your back on the audience, but I don't have much of an option here, do I? So here's Harry. And who is the closest to Harry? But that would be family, right? And so here we have, and I'm going to change colors. Maybe you can see, and we're just going to put fam for family, right? Now, Harry Potter's family is an interesting one because when Harry was a baby, he lost both his parents and became an orphan and was sent to live with his aunt and his uncle and his cousin, the Dursleys. And I say it like that because the Dursleys are not good people. Aiden's up in the balcony putting a thumbs down. The Dursleys are not kind to Harry in any way, shape, or form. They did not want him to live with them, they do not like him, and they treat him in a way that no human being should be treated, especially family. But despite losing his parents, Harry still has a connection with his parents, and there's that family. You know, each of us, we can think about our family, who we're close to, who we love, who is surrounding us. But then the circle goes out from there as we look at our close friends. And in the world of Harry Potter, as Becky talked about, this would be in particular your house. Harry Potter's a Gryffindor, go Gryffindor. Harry Potter's a Gryffindor, and those are the people he's closest to. At school, that's his family. These are his best friends. These are the people that are there for him no matter what. You know, think about those close friends that you have. Those ones that are there for anything and everything. Those go-to when you need something. Those first people you want to tell when you have good news. The first people you want to hug you when you have bad news. Those are the closest of family. But then, in like the world of Harry Potter, you have the other houses. Because even though they're not your house, they're all still living in community together. He has other houses and people outside of Gryffindor that he makes connections with. People that are still friends and maybe that aren't in the same house, but they're still people he connects with. You know, that secondary level of friends that we have. Maybe they're not the first that we turn to. Maybe they're not the first phone call or the first hug, but they're still those people that we are close to. More than just social media friends, but these are the people we relate to, connect with, and see within that intimate circle. Now we go beyond that, right? And we get to the rest of the world eventually. Now the rest of the world with Harry includes a man by the name of Voldemort. That outermost circle, those people that we want the furthest from us. If you don't know it, Voldemort is the bad guy in the book. He is the epitome of evil, if I'm allowed to say that word. Now, one of the challenges, and we know who's in those most outer circles with us, those people who make our life difficult, those people who are mean to us, those people that we just wish weren't around. Maybe it's people, maybe it's systems, maybe some days it's even technology. But here we each have all of these circles, and within them are the good things, but also the challenging things. Harry Potter has ways that he has conflict within his family. He has ways that he has conflicts with his friends. At one point, his best friend Ron is so jealous of Harry that it breaks their relationship temporarily and they just can't be around each other. He has his conflict with the other houses as they're in competition with one another, as they compete for house points and on the Quidditch sports field. And then there's those conflicts with those in those outermost circles, Voldemort, his followers, teachers that he just can't get along with because of how they treat him. We see that for each of us, there's all these circles, and typically the innermost circles are the easiest to love, and the outermost circles are the easiest to hate and despise. But see, here's the thing. When we go into our scripture today, what do we see? But Paul is seeking for us to have this arrow that goes all the way out. And what is this arrow? But this arrow is love. Paul is challenging us in this scripture to see every ring in our tree of connections and our world. And he is challenging us to see how it is that we love all the way out as Christians. Now I'm going to put this to the side as we look deeper into this. Because let's look at this scripture. Because it's true to think that there is evil all around us. It's very, very prominent in Harry Potter. Love is at war with the good guys in these books and in this movie. And there are those days that we feel just the same way. Open up news sites, look on social media, and we see evil everywhere. But how do we handle it as Christians? How do we face these systems and people that push on us with a force that is one that is decaying and destroying of the human heart and human lives? Well, Barbara Brown Taylor, who's a wonderful professor and writer, she says this about evil. The only way to conquer evil is to absorb it. Take it into yourself and disarm it. Neutralize its acids. Serve as a charcoal filter for its smog. Suck it up, put a straitjacket on it, and turn it over to God. so that when you breathe out again, the air is pure. What amazing words. What an amazing image. As we think about this passage that Paul gives us about being the body of Christ and having Christian living, to think about ourselves as a charcoal filter where evil and harshness and hatred from this world comes around us, and for us to be able to absorb it, filter it, and to put pure and loving air back into this world. On a Harry Potter day, to talk about magic, isn't that magical? The ability to transform evil into love. That's what Paul challenges us to do. If we look at this text, and I can't break down the whole thing. Like I said, it would be a two-hour sermon. And so I looked at what are the most important words in this text. And there are those things that Paul says, don't do. We're going to start with the don'ts. Do not lag in zeal. Do not curse enemies. Do not be haughty. Do not repay evil with evil. Never avenge yourself. Do not be overcome by evil. He's so much saying the opposite of the eye for an eye, right? He's saying that when evil comes at us, instead of serving evil and hatred and negativity and just slinging arrows of harsh words back, he's saying, absorb it. Take it in and transform it. To not allow evil to bounce off of us. To not allow evil to come from us. But what does he say for us? Love genuinely. Rejoice in hope. Bless enemies. Ugh. I say it again. Bless enemies. Live peaceably. Overcome evil with good. To overcome evil with good. If we look back at Harry Potter, I told you it's more than magic. It's deeper in what it is. Over and over and over again, Harry's mentor, Albus Dumbledore, who is the headmaster of the school. He's like the grandfatherly figure in all of these movies and is the one that in so many ways adopts Harry in and mentors him through his journey of life. And over and over and over again, Professor Dumbledore talks to Harry about the most powerful magic that he possesses. And it's not a magic that uses a wand. It is not a magic that uses potions. It is a magic in four simple letters. And that is love. He says the evil embodied in Voldemort is defeatable because he does not understand or have any love inside of him. But Harry has love. Love that was given by his parents as they sacrificed his life for him. Love that he has from his friends. Love that he has from his teachers. Love that he has from Professor Dumbledore. The love that they have with one another is the most powerful magic that they can possess. And in the end, if I'm allowed to give it away, it is what defeats Voldemort, the enemy, the evil. At one point, Harry faces Voldemort, and he's taken this message from Dumbledore, and he's taken it to heart, and he's grasped it, and he's understood it. And as he's facing Voldemort, he says to his friends, as they're getting ready for the ultimate battle, he says, even though we have a fight ahead of us, we've got one thing that Voldemort doesn't have. Something worth fighting for. My friends, we as the Christian community, have a fight before us, a fight for justice, a fight for righteousness, a fight for our neighbors, a fight for dignity, a fight for God's presence to be anywhere and everywhere it is needed. It feels like a constant fight and battle that we are in. But we can win if we embrace this concept of love, if we realize what we are fighting for, and we are fighting for God. We are fighting for love, and we are fighting for one another. This is what Paul is speaking of. The body of Christ coming together to absorb evil, to transform it, and to breathe out love in this world. As Bob Goff was talking about these circles, he was challenging us on love, and he wasn't talking about love to those closest of circles because they're the easiest to love. But he said, think about those people that are 4 and 5 rings out. He said, and now how can we work to intentionally show love to those people? Because they are the ones who are probably needing our love the most, even though they are the hardest to love. How do we walk from here to see who's pushing on us, to see who's enraging us, to see who's making us want to fight and battle? And instead of fighting with words and fists and anger and frustration, how do we go from this place to show love, to use it as the most powerful weapon we have? When somebody is hating upon us, when somebody is doing wrong to us, it's hard for them to keep going if what we are pushing back with is love and kindness and patience and compassion and all of these things that Paul talks about that we are called to embody as the body of Christ. I leave us with this quote from another theologian by the name of Alan Brehm. And he says, only when we embrace those who do evil in our world with genuine love can we hope to respond in a way that will bring real change. Responding to violence with forgiveness, responding to hatred with compassion, responding to hostility with peace. May we go from this place to be the change we wish to see, to embody love to all those around us, even those who seem like they don't deserve it. Let us go with God's grace, God's peace, and God's ability to transform even the worst of things into the best of things. Amen.